morning. Judges chapter 6, beginning at verse 11. It says, "Now the angel of the Lord came out and sat under a terebinth tree, which was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, while his son Gideon threshed wheat in the winepress, in order to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, 'The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor.' And Gideon said to him, 'O my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where is all the miracles which our fathers told us about, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hand of the Midianites.'" And I want to come with this thought this morning. Is the God of miracles still present?
Yes.
Think about it. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for this time and this opportunity, Lord God, to minister behind this sacred desk. I ask you, Lord God, for the anointing of the Spirit, not just to help me to preach a message, but Lord, deliver what you want. Lord, it's not just about getting through a sermon, getting through this time. Lord, it's to hear from you. And Lord, it's about awakening our spirits, Lord God, for the times in which we live in, and understanding, Lord God, what we have been called to do as men and women of God. I pray, Lord God, you touch me, touch my mouth and everything about me, God, that I can do what you want. And Lord, we give you all the glory and honor. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. God bless you. You know, there's people that are still asking this question, is the God of miracles still present? And a lot of people are asking this because they need a miracle in their life. They need God to intervene. They need something from God. And many Christians and non-Christians, non-believers ask this. Where's this God of miracles that we've talked about? We've read about or we've heard about. We don't see the miracles like we used to see or what like we've read about. We don't see this. We don't see the power of the church anymore. And the question, while it remains, and it's the elephant in the room, if I could use that expression. Where's this God of miracles? There's a lot of people in the church asking, yes, where is the God of miracles? Well, first and foremost, we got to understand, the Bible tells us that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He changes not. So God has not changed. His power has not diminished. His ability and his desire to touch his people has not changed one bit. What has changed is us. What has changed is his or our desire to allow him to move in and through us. What's changed is our commitment to see the God of miracles move in our midst and allow him the time and opportunity to move. But here comes down to another issue that I want to talk about, because it is what we call the truth versus experience. In the evangelical world today, we see a lot of debate that's taken place over the years. There's two camps, if I can use this expression, that are calling, one is we're going to call the truth-based doctrine, and the other one is the experience-based, and they oppose one another. One says you got to have truth and you got to have substantial information and substantial facts, while the other one says you got to have experience. It's all about the experience. And with that being said, there's problems with this division that it has caused within people, not only within churches, and well, this church is all about experience and that person's all about facts, but then even within churches, people are looking for truth, but also others are looking for an experience.
Yes.
And a lot of us will say, can we not have both? But let's address this for just a moment. Because there's three things I want us to kind of look at this morning and see. If we really want the God of miracles moving in our midst, let's address these. Some say, number one, there can be no without experience. Scripture, we got to remind ourselves, Scripture was not just given by some scholar just sitting in his office typing up a great manuscript. Scripture was not given by somebody that said, I'm going to think this up and this is going to be a good story to tell. No, we are told in Scripture that Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is for our benefit. God gave us His words. He gave us His life-giving words. He gave us words that we can stand upon, that we can live by, and that we can stand upon every promise that He has given us. His word is given to us. Scripture is inerrant. It is given by the Holy Spirit. It inspired men and women of God to do mighty things for Him. Some Scripture came in various ways. Some even through the ministry of angels. Some by the experience of men and women that experience and walk these experiences out. Some even, like Paul, got knocked down a bit. And through his life experience, he wrote some great epistles. Number two, we see that all Scriptures give themselves, or the Scriptures themselves validate personal encounters with Christ and the Holy Spirit. The Scriptures themselves tell us. The truth base tells us themselves. And without a doubt, the Bible speaks of and encourages personal experience with God. The Bible encourages us to have a relationship with God. But for some, the Bible has become more of an icon. People love studying the Bible just to study the Bible. To where the Bible becomes greater than the author. Are you hearing me? I know people like this. They love to debate Scripture. They love to talk about Scripture, but they don't care anything about the relationship with the author of those Scriptures. They just want to wow you with their knowledge, but they have no knowledge of the one who wrote it. Listen, we can know the Bible frontwards and backwards, but can I remind you, the devil knows the Bible frontwards and backwards. God isn't concerned. He wants us to know the Word. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. But He's more concerned about us knowing Him than knowing His words. Because if I love Him and I have a relationship with Him, I want to know what He has to say. It's the relationship driving my desire to know truth. Yes, I know people come to know God through just reading the Bible, and from the truth, they've got into a relationship. But the bottom line is, if I know this, but I don't know Him, I lose. I love Scripture. I love studying the Bible. But to me, I'd rather know Him than know this. Yeah. And you understand where I'm saying. Oh, pastor said, he don't care about social. No. You're missing the point. Listen, if we spend 3 hours a day studying Scripture, but we don't spend time in prayer, we miss out. We've lost the point.
Yeah.
I'd rather spend more time in prayer than I do studying Scripture. Because I know Him, He is going to help me understand this.
Yes.
There's a difference. But let's go on. Because having a deep Bible study doesn't replace the experience and the relationship of knowing Him. Philippians 3 tells us, he said in verse 8, "For indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ, Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ. And be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. The righteousness which is from God by faith." But look at verse 10. He said, "That I may know Him, and in the power We have the knowledge, but we don't have the experience. We have the knowledge and think, well, listen to me, we think the knowledge will supersede the experience of God. Can I tell you, there is nothing that will take place or take the place of the relationship with God? There's nothing. Knowledge, you can know all about Him, but still not know Him. You can read all you can. You can read all there is about all the miracles and all the manifestation of the Spirit. You can read all about it and still not understand it until you've experienced it for yourself. God just don't want us to know Him and have a knowledge of Him. He wants to have a knowledge or an experience with Him, a relationship with Him. It's like, our spouses, we just say, I go up and say, how you doing, wife? And treat her very cold and impersonal. It's not going to be a real good relationship, is it? Hey, wife. Don't even call her by her first name, just wife. And she says, how are you, husband? I ain't going to go very far. Y'all looking at her, the look she's giving me right now, like, yeah, you go very far. I see you looking at her. Kick out people when they, it don't happen so much anymore, but years ago, you've been around church any length of time, you know what I'm talking about. People would get up and pray, oh God in heaven, and then just get all flowery with their speech. They say, oh, they're just honoring God. Okay, fine, but you don't talk that way. Hello? And I'm sorry. My God means something to me. Now, I'm going to go from that spectrum to the other side of the spectrum here, because some will say, they to me come at God and talk to Him in an irreverent manner. Hear me? I mean, I've seen kids and I'm just using this for a reference. And, they go, you got a good dog, what's up? No, he's not your dog.
Right.
He's my homie. You're stretching it there, buddy. I mean, to me, the way I approach it, I want to talk to God like I'm going to talk to my wife or to someone I respect. Are you hearing me? I'm not going to talk, listen to me, I'm not going to talk down to them. And I'm talking about God. I'm not talking down to Him because He's God and I'm not. And if I want God, if I want that experience with God, then I need to approach Him like it means something to me. Not that He's some little, He's not your servant for you to bark out orders to Him and to give your laundry list. He's your God. He's your creator. He's the one that died for you. We need to respect Him for who He is. And if we want God to do miracles in our life, then we need to honor Him for who He is. Let's look at this. Because we can go through and say, well, did God really do a lot of miracles? Well, let's look at this for just a moment. Because the miracles of the Old Testament, we can look. There's the miracle of creation in itself. You look at Genesis chapter 1, you see a lot of miracles. You look at the rapture when He took Enoch. Philippians 2, we look at this as all things we speak, or we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches us, but the Holy Spirit teaches us, comparing spiritual things to spiritual. Verse 14, he said, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he be known then, because they are spiritually discerned. Don't go asking somebody that is not spiritual, spiritual things.
Amen.
Don't go asking somebody their opinion about God doing miracles if they have not experienced it themselves.
Amen.
I don't care if they're a theologian. Listen, there's some theologians, I'm going to get on a soapbox and get myself in trouble, but there's some theologians in Pentecostal institutions, and I've been in them, and I've talked with some of them, they don't even believe in miracles anymore. And many people in churches today, they even question, is God real? Is miracles real? Is tongues real? Is all this real? Can I stand and tell you for just a moment, it's real. My God is real. Miracles are real. The Holy Spirit is real. And if you think all that's went out way back when, then I feel sorry for you, because you're missing out on a whole lot of things that God has for us. God's not done with his church. He's not done with his people. He's coming back for a church that's waiting, that's looking, that's anticipating his coming. And he's going to pour out his Spirit on all flesh. And he means now in these last days. Take us out. one prayer, would you still believe him? Let's face it. Let's be real for a minute. Let's be truthful. Some people would walk away. They serve God for what they get. God is Santa Claus. And as long as the presents keep coming, I'm going to sit on your lap. Come on now. But once the presents stop, I'm done. You're serving for the wrong reason. He's not Santa Claus. He's not your butler or your servant. He's your God. He created you in his image and in his likeness. He breathed into you the very breath of God. His very breath is breathing through your lungs right now. And if that is not enough, I'm sorry, but to me that's enough. If he's given us life, he's given us the precious gift of all, because to have life with him is a precious gift. What's even better is when I take the last breath in this body, I wake up into a life eternal with him. That's better yet. But I got to serve him here and now. God is still a God of miracles. Do you believe that he's still a God of miracles? Acts 19 says, now God worked unusual miracles by the hand of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them, and the evil spirits went out of them. God is still working miracles. God is still doing things in our life. God still desires to manifest himself in us. Paul did some great things through the hands of, just think about the handkerchiefs for Paul. There you go. There's another place in Scripture you read in Acts where they seen Peter walking down the street. They came and got the sick and laid them out in the streets so Peter would touch them and they'd be hit. No. That's not what Scripture said. It said his shadow. His shadow touching him. They're healed. If that's not a miracle, Joey, I don't know what is. Amen. Can you imagine your shadow touching people, heals them? Y'all, are you looking at something? Come on now. Don't you think God still desires to do that today? We become so skeptical. We become so lazy in our faith. Come on. Let's be real. God's trying to wake up the church. That's why I call this awakening, awakening in the Spirit. God's trying to wake us up. Let me just stop for a second. I'm almost done, but let me just stop for just a minute. How many really believe, Jesus is coming soon? If we really believe he's coming soon, what are you doing about it? Hello? Think about it. Well, I'm going to church every Sunday. Great. But again, what are you doing about it? What are you allowing God to do through you? Just come to church isn't enough, people. that think they're okay just come to church. And I guarantee you, when that trumpet sounds, they'll be left. Samson, a mighty man of God. Look at his story. Cut his hair. The power of God left him. And the Bible tells us he did not know it left. There's a lot of people that used to be mighty men and women of God that did mighty things for God back in the day. But in the process of time and circumstances or whatever you want to throw in there, they didn't even know that the Spirit of God left. And they're going to churches thinking everything's okay because they're going to church. We come in to worship God. We come in here to honor God. But it's out there where we make a difference. It's out there where we begin to tear down walls and we see bondages broken off people's lives. Galatians 3 says, "O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified? This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith?" Do you have faith? Do you have faith in God? Do you have faith that with God all things are possible? Do you have faith? You see, today we've elevated, their fleshly theories above Scripture. Listen, I can't heal you. I can pray for you. I can believe in God. I can stand in faith. I can come in agreement. But I cannot heal you. Only God can. Sometimes we go up for prayer and we get so disappointed because God didn't do what we thought he was going to do, or the man of God didn't do, or the woman of God didn't do what we thought they was going to do for us, and then we walk away disappointed because our faith was in the person, not God.
Right.
It's not me. Yes, I'm a conduit. Yes, God uses the pastors and preachers and ministers. God uses all of us. I'm here to help build your faith. I'm here to help you. But it's God we need to be looking to. But also something we've got to remind ourselves of. Romans 11 says the gifts of God are the gifts and calling of God are irrevocable. He's given them. But also Paul tells us in 2 Timothy that to have a form, that some people have a form of godliness, but they deny the power. So if we have that form of godliness and we deny the power, then miracles aren't going to happen. If we have that religious glow about us, but we deny the power of God, nothing happens. Some of you didn't know a couple weeks ago that God did some miracles. God did heal some people. God did do some things. God is still moving in his church. I believe every time we come to church, and I'm guilty. I want to admit it. There are times I'm guilty. Let's be real. Sometimes we come in, we get so distracted, so caught up in things or schedules. We come in and like, okay, let's get church. And after church, I got to go do this. And we get so caught up what's after church or what's later on, we forget the moment, our moment with God. And we miss God. sacred times. These are times we do not need to take for granted nor neglect. These are times we come together as one body, as one voice, to hear from our God. God can speak to me in my home, a gospel. There's things He'll tell me in our homes, all of us. He'll tell us in our private time. But then there's also things, if you read Scripture, you'll see. There's times He'll tell the individual, but then there's times He wants to speak to the body. That's why it tells us not to forsake the assembly of ourselves together. Because there's things God wants to tell us as a body. Because those are reserved for the body. There's blessings for the individual, but there's also blessings for the body. And if we neglect this time, we'll miss those blessings. And we'll miss the things that God has. And I believe some of the things God wants to do here in our church and in our services is minister to people. And yes, do miracles. The Bible says signs and wonders follow them that believe. Anybody remember that scripture?
Yes.
Signs and wonders follow them. Now, stay on that point for a second. Follow them that believe. You know what that makes me think or puts into my mind? Turn around and look behind you and see what's happening. What's following you? Is there signs? Is there wonders that follow you? What's following you? For some, it's gloom, despair, right? It got quiet. Think about it. If all you do is gloom and despair, all you do is, oh, it's me, this and that. What's following you? Or, let me back up. What are you following? Because a believer is going to follow the Word. The believer is going to follow after God. And if we're following after God, and we're following His Word, guess what's going to follow us? You will have problems, yes. You will have troubles, yes. But they won't have you. Some of y'all didn't get that part. The Bible says, in this world you will have troubles. And we all say, amen to that. But be of good cheer, for I, God says, have overcome the world. Yes. We're in this world. We're not of it. Why? Because God has conquered this world already.
Yes.
Wake your neighbor up. Tell him, you got to hear this. Listen, we can use every excuse in the book. We can use every excuse in the book. Why God isn't doing this? Why God ain't doing that? Why God is not doing miracles? Why God's not touching my life? But when the people of God get a determination and get a righteous indignation, if I could say that, to follow God, to work for God, to not be distracted on petty little things, and not to live in fear, then I believe we're going to see some miracles, we're going to see some signs, we're going to see wonders, we're going to see God move like we've never seen Him move before. But it's going to come from people that are determined to follow Him. And when we pray, we pray. Come and talk to me and say, oh, Pastor, my kids aren't serving God. They're in this trouble, they're in that trouble. They're having this problem, that problem, and I think, well, are you taking them to church? Well, we got ball practice. We got this. We got that. We're not willing to help the cause, we're hurting the cause. One person, 10 people cannot make a church successful. And if you think that, you're misled.
Amen.
Ephesians chapter 4 says, each part doing its share causes growth. Every person in the body of Christ doing what they've been called to do. That's the key. But where is this God of miracles? Right where he's been all along. Waiting for his church to operate. Waiting for his church to be the church that he's called it to be. I believe, as sure as I'm standing here today, these last days you and I live in, I believe God is wanting to do more miracles than he's ever done before. I believe, church, we're, you know, oh, I got so much, I just want to share. I believe God's, there's a revival coming, church. Not just here, but across this land. God is looking for people of God that are willing to wake up and perceive the time and say, God, it's now. The church's hour is our best day. You say, well, Pastor, I know you've said that, but I believe it. The best days are in front of us, not behind us. And it's when people of God are willing to come. We're going to have some prayer meetings coming, church. I'm telling you. It's time we put an emphasis of prayer back in the church.
Amen.
And not just where one or two show up.
Amen.
Come on. If we want God to move in our church, if we want God to move in our family, it's going to come from people that are willing to pray.
Hallelujah.
Hello.
Hallelujah.
They're going to invest the time and pray. Where are the God of miracles? He's still here. He's still here. I want to ask you right now, do you believe God can still do miracles? Do you believe God can still do miracles?
Yes, yes.
Listen, I said at the very beginning of the service this morning, there's some that we mentioned in prayer, like Sister Judy. She needs a miracle. She needs a miracle. She's done so much for not only this church, but for many of us. She's done a lot.
Yes, yes.
She needs a miracle. She needs the people of God to gather around her and pray.
Amen.
And pray in her behalf and intercede. I believe God loves when intercessors call out in behalf of one another.
Oh, yes.
But we have to have a determination in our own life. I believe. I believe. Would you stand with me this morning?
Hallelujah.
Father, I believe that with you all
Thank
things
you,
are possible.
Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Lord, I believe this is the time for the church to awaken and understand now. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of miracles. Today is the day you desire to move.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Today is the day, God, you want to reveal your power and your might. You're looking for men and women of God that are hungry, that are desperate, that desire a move of God. Father, you're looking for people that are willing to step out in faith and begin to claim and call for their miracle today. And Father, I believe you are faithful to honor the hearts and lives and faith of your people. Father, right now, Holy Spirit, just have your way.
Yes.
As we prepare to gather around your altar. Oh God, I pray, let your will be done. Holy Spirit, move among your people. There are some today here that need a miracle in their own lives. And I believe, God, you're looking to do a miracle for them. And I stand upon your word. I stand in faith, believing, oh God, that you will do it. Have your way. I just want to ask you this as we prepare, and as your hearts are prepared, that it's time right now to step out in faith and meet him at this altar. You need a miracle today. If you believe that God is still able to do miracles, and if you need a miracle, I want to call you out right now and say, come out, step in faith, come to this altar and just begin to kneel, stand, whatever you want to do, and say, God, I need a miracle in my life. You may come and pray for someone else, intercede. I believe God is here to honor your faith. It's time to get our miracles.
Amen.
It's time to get what we need from God. It's time to quit living in doubt and live in faith. And say, God, I need this. I need you. I need the God of miracles to show up in my life. Gideon called out, where's the God of miracles? And God showed him where he was. Come right now. Anyone else? Some of you need to just step out. Maybe you need to intercede for somebody. But it's time to come and claim our miracle this morning. Oh, Holy Spirit, have your way. Have your way this morning.